Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
A reading from Psalm 98. Sing to God a brand new song. He made a world of wonders. He rolled up his sleeves. He set things right. God made history with salvation. He showed the world what he could do. He remembered to love us, to his dear family, Israel, indefatigable love. The whole earth comes to attention. Look, God's work of salvation. Shout your praises to God, everybody. Let loose and sing. Strike up the band. Round up an orchestra to play for God. Add on a 100-voice choir. Feature trumpets and trombones. Fill the air with praises to King God. Let the sea and its fish give a round of applause, with every living thing on earth joining in. Let ocean breakers call out encore, and the mountains harmonize the finale. A tribute to God when he comes. When he comes to set the earth right. He'll straighten out the whole world. He'll put the world right. And everyone in it. The word of the Lord.
The nation is broken, though mountains and rivers remain. In cities, in the spring, the grass and trees grow deeply. Sensing the moment, flowers shed tears. Hating the separation, birds are fearful at heart. The beacons have burnt continuously for 3 months. A letter from home is worth 10,000 pieces of gold. My hair, white, is even scarcer from scratching and can barely hold a hairpin. This poem, Spring View, was written by Tang Dynasty poet Du Fu in 755 current era. When it was written, there was a political rebellion going on, and Du Fu sent his family into exile for their safety. For months, he remained quarantined by forces around him, and he wrote this poem of hope despite his dire circumstances. It's probably unlikely that Du Fu ever read Psalm 98. But here is a man whose words express the complexity of his current situation while juxtaposed with hope and the steadfast goodness of God. Similarly, in 1719, Isaac Watts used words to celebrate God's love and hope when he penned the words, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king." Although you did not hear James just read the words, Psalm 98 is what Watts used for this beloved Christmas hymn. And although he didn't pen the entire song himself, there were known and unknown collaborators, including George Friedrich Handel of Handel's Messiah. Watts drew from this psalm to proclaim the good news to the world. The Lord is come. Note the current is, not a past tense, has. God is here. God is now. In the Message translation of Psalm 98 that James read, the late theologian Eugene Peterson took the ancient Hebrew scriptures and translated it to a more contemporary language to reach out to people who were looking for how the church could be relatable and not just an institution, using words that some say are the literal words of God and cannot, shall not be transcribed. If we cannot, if we shall not transcribe them, how's your Greek? How's your Hebrew? Because after seminary, mine got really rusty. This transcription was a labor of love that took 15 years for Peterson to complete. When it was finished in 2002, the Message version of the Bible found its way into thousands of homes and churches. And people began reading the scripture in a new way, a way that would engage them differently with God in this setting. During that same time, a student of Peterson's was reading a magazine, and he brought it in to show his theologian professor. It was the Rolling Stone magazine. And in it was an interview with Bono, the lead singer from the group U2. Bono had read the Message. The biggest rock star in the world at the time was heaping praise on Peterson's work, describing it as a great strength to me in his interview with Rolling Stone. Now, at that point, Peterson had never heard of YouTube or Bono, but the rock star and theologian would eventually come together and form an unlikely and deeply spiritual friendship. Together in 2016, they filmed a 20-minute video to share their conversation about how the Psalms had shaped them. You can find that on YouTube. This video shows two men being interviewed and engaging in conversation about their shared love of the Psalms. For Peterson, he confesses that it's the first book he fell in love with in the Bible. And for Bono, it's the book that inspired so many songs that he writes. In fact, one of them, most notably 40, is based on Psalm 40. These are the opening lyrics to that song. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing. Sing a new song. I will sing. Sing a new song. Suddenly, millions of people were hearing the Psalms in a way they had never encountered them before. U2's music became God's new song to reach people in the streets, in their cars, in arenas. Everywhere they were singing together. Many people today see the church as an institution, not the good news of God's love as lived and shared by Jesus. So finding new ways to express that love is important. It is critical to share this love of God in a new way. It gives each of us an opportunity to be creative as we draw upon our own life experiences. In her book, Faith Unraveled, Rachel Held Evans writes about her experience growing up in Dayton, Texas, the city where the Scopes trial was held in 1925. She writes, I used to be a fundamentalist, not the Teletubby-hating, apocalypse-ready Jerry Falwell type of fundamentalist, but the kind who thinks that God has pretty much figured out already that he's done telling us anything new. I was a fundamentalist in the sense that I thought salvation meant having the right opinions about God, and fighting the good fight of faith requires defending those opinions at all cost. I was a fundamentalist because my security and self-worth and sense of purpose in life were all wrapped up in getting God right, in believing the right things about him, saying the right things about him, and convincing others to embrace the right things about him too. Good Christians, I believed, don't succumb to the shifting sands of culture. Good Christians, I used to think, did not change their minds. In the end, she writes, "I changed my mind. I changed my mind about God's love." And in that, she would express that love in her writings, which opened the door for many people to learn about the fresh love of God in a new way. But sadly, there are still people out there thinking that unless they have it all together, they cannot, they shall not come to church. They still believe what they have heard, that what the church thinks about them and their messy lives will keep them out of the love and the light of God. But as Psalm 98 says, God made history with salvation. He showed the world what he could do. He remembered to love us, a bonus for the dear family. Jesus, the Savior and the Creator of unconditional love, came into the world to teach everyone with our messy lives that God loves them, God loves us, and nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. There was a new song that was being sung. As Psalm 98 says, "Shout your praises to God, everybody. Let loose and sing. Strike up the band." A nod to my choral friends. I know many of you have heard that choral music and the spread of coronavirus are being linked together. What will happen in church if we can't sing? How will we be able to praise God? I don't know the answers to those questions, but I know that it is a large topic of conversation for many, many people. And in fact, on Tuesday, May 26th, the American Choral Directors Association is holding their second webinar to discuss what they can do. Their goal is to share promising projects and existing and emerging technologies that keep us connected and singing while keeping us safe. But what we can do, even if we cannot gather together right now or sing in the future as we have done in the past, we can still be the church. This is where creative thinking and creating new ways to express God's love comes into play. What story do you have to share with someone who is feeling isolated or frightened or uncertain? I was on a Zoom call recently with a friend, and she told me of a story that occurred within her home during September 2001. Her young daughter was aware of the fact that something tragic had happened, and this little girl was inconsolable. She felt her world was falling apart because her daddy was gone on 24-hour shifts of work, and everybody seemed very, very scared. This little girl cried in fear, and her mother felt helpless. And then a new thought came to her. And she said, "Sweetie, let's pray. Let's tell Jesus everything we're afraid of. Let's tell Jesus how frightened we are. Let's pray for our hearts to be calm and for Daddy to come home safely." The act of prayer calmed both mother and child. Praise God, from whom all blessings come. Right now, friends, there are people who feel uncertain and afraid. And it's okay to tell them that you don't have all the answers, but that God does. And that God is not done loving us and putting the world right. Together, you wherever you are, and me, and collectively all of us, with the Spirit of God, can create a new environment for all people to feel safe, heard, and affirmed, whatever emotions they are experiencing. Together, we can create an environment of love, of hope, of acceptance, and yes, of joy. I've heard a lot of people say, I'll be happy when this pandemic is over. And I understand delayed gratification when it comes to baking cookies and not just eating all the cookie dough. But this coronavirus and its effects will be with us for a while. So as we continue to work our way into a new place, why would we delay joy? How do we find joy now? How can we express joy now? What will bless us and bless others now? Again, I don't have all the answers to those questions, but I do know that God knows. And I do know that God can give us promptings of things we can do individually and collectively while maintaining our social distance for the health and the best welfare of all people. We just need to ask and then respond to the promptings that we receive. A week ago, my husband and I took a staycation. We had the chance to walk in the surf, watch dolphins play in the waves, and we saw the bioluminescence light up the ocean. Each of these acts was like a baptism, an applause from creation for what God is doing. Joy was being expressed. Each of these things reminded me that God continues to pour forth joy into the world, because that's what God does. So, as we remember what Du Fu wrote long ago, the waters and the rivers are still here. The spring grasses are still growing. Communications from loved ones are still being transmitted, and they are worth their weight in gold. So let us continue to learn new songs from God and creatively share joy to the world, for the Lord is come. Let us sing to God a new song. With God, let us create this song for all the world to hear. Let it be so. Amen.
Let us now pray together. Dear God, we remember, as hard it is to realize and to admit, that the greatest works of art throughout history, songs, literature, the Bible even, were born during times of great struggle, when people didn't know what was going on, were hurting and suffering, and sought you out to make meaning of their situations. And we know that during this time, new art is being born as well within us. In each of our homes, something, a new story, a new song, a new poem is being written that's giving new life to us all. So that once this phase of history ends, we emerge with new imagination, with new works of art that have refreshed us and that we can share with one another. And it doesn't have to be something concrete like a poem or a dinner meal, but it can be a new story about our lives and who we are to you, to ourselves, and to one another. keep making us anew during this time. Help us to stay faithful to our suffering, to be present to it, to seek you out in it. And I also remember all of those who fought in some war or national event in our history that we remember and honor this Memorial Day weekend. Those who put their lives on the line so that others may live. And they did this because you, O God, are the God of life. And you long for life, a joyful and free life for every single individual. So we remember those people who pushed forth your intentions for all of us. And we carry that intention to the rest of the world to fight for life as you long for us to do, as your intention is for the whole world and all individuals within it to have the gift of life. And together we pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.